So throughout this year, we're talking about connecting to God and one another. And in this particular season, we're talking about connecting to Jesus as the power of our hope. And we've been talking about all kinds of things, all kinds of ways of connecting with Jesus. And today we look at how he shows us the way. We're going to look at a familiar story, the story of the Good Samaritan. And I'm going to invite you to look at it from a little bit different angle. I want to encourage you, as you hear this story in a few minutes, to think about it as how Jesus, what this tells us about Jesus, what the story tells us about Jesus, and how he's showing us the way. We often think about this story in terms of Jesus telling us to do good things, and of course that's part of it, but the story is much deeper than that. And so today we're going to begin with a little passage from the book of Deuteronomy, which you will recognize as a centerpiece of Jewish understanding. What's the main thing? And Jesus would have known this. And so when he goes to talk to the lawyer in Luke chapter 10, Jesus already knows this is his background. He comes from this place of love the Lord your God with all your heart. You'll hear it now. We're going to begin with Deuteronomy chapter 6, and then in a few minutes, think about the Good Samaritan story as what do we find out about Jesus? What is he showing us?
Our first scripture reading this morning comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. The first part of this reading, I'm sure, is very familiar to most, if not all of you, but maybe the last sentence might not be quite as familiar, so listen closely to that one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for an extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Open our hearts, O God, to hear your word in new ways. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was about 10 years old, I wrote a short story. I was fond of writing stories then, and this one was called The Little Lost Popcorn Kernel. I kept a copy of it for years, and I wish I still had it, but it got lost somewhere along the way. I don't remember all the details, but this much I do. Some of you will remember, do they still make Jiffy Pop? They still make Jiffy Pop, I guess. It was like a precursor to microwave popcorn. You know, it came in an aluminum pan, and you heated it on the stove, and it got hot, and it popped up, and it was in this aluminum pan, aluminum foil shell. And in the story, the popcorn kernel popped out of the pan and onto the floor and started rolling and then had adventures, some scary and some downright adventurous. The kernel left home and rolled outside and into the grass where it escaped dogs and earthworms and made its way to a nearby amusement park, having fun riding the Ferris wheel, but barely escaping getting hit by a car while blowing across a road. The kernel was often frightened. Some wondered how it would get back home, and yet wanting adventures, the kernel got dirty and slightly crushed, but kept on going. At one point, a 3-year-old picked it up and almost had it to his mouth when his mother cried no, and the kernel was saved. One of the kernel's threats was rain and cold because it didn't have anything or anyone to protect it. One of the kernel's greatest joys was its sense of freedom from that hot frying pan and whatever else. The kernel's greatest worry was other people. Would they see it as just a silly little object? Finally, though, one day, the little lost popcorn kernel's journey ended when an old woman tenderly picked it up from her front porch and laid it on her windowsill. And that's where the story ended. It's a story about me. It's a story about me, a 10-year-old me, wanting more, left on my own quite a bit, battered sometimes, but always looking for new things, and so much more. Any caring adult reading that story would have seen my uncertainty and my fears, as well as my longings. The story tells something about me. As surely as this story in Luke 10 tells us something about Jesus. The story goes way beyond how good it is to do nice things for people. And it is good to do that. The story goes so much deeper to the very heart of who Jesus is and what he does for us and what he expects us as his followers to be about in the world. You know, when this story in Luke 10 is written down around 80 or so AD, people know what had happened to Jesus, just like we know. He had been beaten and crucified, and that death didn't have the final say. He rose again, new life, held in the palm of God's hand or laid on the windowsill of the old woman, safe and alive. Jesus tells this story to his followers about him, Jesus, not just about doing nice things, good things, but it's deeper. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, that's a big question. It's designed to trip Jesus up, but he won't be tripped. What does the law tell you? He asks the man. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, you've given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? The story continues. The question, what is Jesus telling them and us about himself in the story? Listen closely to the question, who is my neighbor? Jesus says this. You just heard again the familiar story. As a man is going down the Jericho road, he falls into the hands of those who beat him up. And two people pass by. Two religious leaders pass by. Until, and this is the shocker for those who hear it, a Samaritan helps the man. Samaritans were hated by the Jews. A Samaritan helps the man and, in fact, does more than what might have been expected. Says to the innkeeper, take care of him, and if there's even more that needs to be done, I'll pay even more for him. Which of these things, which of these people, Jesus asks the man, which of these three was the one who behaved like a neighbor? Which one was a neighbor? And he said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus says, go and do likewise. This is Jesus. Sometimes, you see, he is the one who has been beaten. Everyone listening to the story when it was written down knows that Jesus was beaten and crucified and that the religious leaders stood by. And then there were these surprising ones that stood at the foot of the cross, mostly the women, and others who tenderly cared for his broken body. The women again, and Joseph of Arimathea. Sometimes Jesus is the one in the story who has been beaten. The point for Jesus in the story is that he has seen and endured what we have. He has been beaten down like the man in the story. This is Jesus. He shows us that sometimes he is the one who helps. When we are beaten and near death, whatever that means, and others refuse to come our way, he holds us and heals us and tends us, and he pays whatever price is necessary for us to get well. And most of all, he comes back. He never leaves us. Jesus in the story is the surprising Samaritan, and it is a shocker. This is Jesus. Who is he? By having endured so much, he knows our pain, and also he is the surprising one who helps. He comes our way. And he shows us that he expects his followers to follow in his footsteps, to show mercy to those in need. And in fact, that willingness to truly be his follower is to risk caring for the bleeding and the hurt. And that is what leads to eternal life. Showing mercy is the way to life. Now there's a shocker too, isn't there? Isn't it? Showing mercy is the way that leads to eternal life. You see, Jesus turns the words around. The man asks, who is my neighbor? And Jesus says, which one was the neighbor? The one who showed mercy, go and do likewise. The story in Luke ends there. Now, we don't have to be a neighbor to those in need. This is going to be a bold statement for you. We don't have to be a neighbor to those in need, but we probably can't call ourselves Jesus followers if we don't show mercy. And if we don't, eternal life, now and in the future, will remain elusive, just out of reach for us. This familiar story is at the heart of the Christian story, the very heart of it. And in fact, for those of you who wonder what this whole Trinity thing is about, it's found in this story. Jesus is the beaten man, and God the Father, the Creator, comes and finds him. Jesus is the Samaritan, the one who comes to the one who has been beaten to us, sent by God the Father, the Creator, the Son in the flesh, who comes to the ones who are beaten, surprising and unusual, and pulls us out of the depths and saves us. God the Father, the Creator, God the Son. And Jesus' spirit challenges his followers to be the Samaritan, empowered by his spirit. They are to be the surprising helpers to the ones who are beaten, hurt, left for dead, discarded, and alone. So, as you have wondered about this Trinity business, God the Father, the Creator, comes like the Samaritan to one who is beaten, Jesus. God in Jesus is the surprising helper. God in the flesh, the Samaritan. God in the Spirit, Jesus' Spirit, empowering and challenging us to be the surprising helper, the Samaritan, to those in need. You're with me, aren't you? Can you figure out the meanings for you and for me for today? You know, we are faced today with many issues that cause us to wrestle with our faith, right? Many issues. You just have to turn on the radio or the television or open a newspaper. I don't need to name all of them for us today. They're just right there, aren't they? And we have a diverse congregation here. Some of you believe that I should never talk about current issues and how those intersect with our faith, but just stick to the Bible. Some of you are nodding right now, even if you're not nodding physically, you're nodding in your hearts, and I deeply respect that. Others of you feel that I should be openly addressing today's current issues, boldly laying out what our Christian beliefs and response need to be. And some of you are nodding right now, and I deeply respect that. And I get letters and comments about both of those. What I think is that Scripture calls us through the stories of Jesus like this one, where he clearly tells us who he is and what he expects of us. Scripture calls us to ask ourselves deep questions about our faith and about our lives. At its best, that's what the lawyer in the story was doing. A deep question of Jesus: what must I do to inherit eternal life? Or what will bring me life in this life and beyond? To go deeper into our hearts, you know, we can all learn to be nice people. But the Scripture in Jesus calls us to go deeper into our hearts. I am never going to tell you how to think or believe or what you must do as a Christian or a follower of Jesus. I'm certainly never going to tell you who to vote for or badmouth elected officials or candidates. I'm never going to do that. I do feel that faithful preaching and faithfulness to the gospel causes me to pose questions about our life and our faith, about Scripture and what Jesus asks of us. You know, I already do that. And I expect I'm going to continue to do that. I hope you see that as faithful leadership, what you would expect from your pastors. And with this story, as we go deep into the heart of what Jesus is showing and telling us, we find ourselves asking, when are we beaten or lonely or afraid or down? How can we remember that Jesus knew all of that and is one with us? And if he is one with us, how does he also understand the suffering of others who hurt and struggle? How is Jesus one with all who suffer? And then the Scripture causes us to ask, who are the ones who have been like Jesus, like the Samaritan to us when we are the beaten ones? Who has been like Jesus to us? When we have been grieving or afraid or angry, who has God sent our way to show us the very heart of Jesus? Sometimes as a total surprise, like the Samaritan. We all have those people, don't we, who have been our Samaritans? Finally, how is God asking us to be the surprising one for those in need? To reach deep within ourselves and to see where God is calling us. Who do we know who is left on the road, passed by others, and God reaches into our hearts to show mercy and says, go and do likewise. And then you and they and I and we will live. You know, without even knowing it, that's what my childlike story was about. That through all the wonderings and the struggles, it was about the one who ended up holding me laying me gently on the windowsill, comforting and strengthening me tenderly, and bringing me life. Thanks be to God. Amen.